Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello again, and welcome to Yes, I'm Still Sober with John Raven. Episode 9. Here we are once again, and I have been bombarded with both, because I host the podcast on Podbean and because I have a Facebook page. So I've been bombarded by both Facebook and Podbean with little reminders and like suggestions and messages like in my email and everything. The stillsoberpod@gmail.com if you'd like to message me and not be Podbean or Facebook. But they've been messaging me trying to get me to how to boost your page and how to get your podcast out there. And hey, did you know that we've got a premium section? It's all set up for you if you want to do something special for like premium content to charge people money, you know, in case you want to spend money to hear me ramble more. And that makes sense for some podcasts. It does not make sense for me at this point, because I have a feeling I might get one person pay money to hear me. And at that point, I should just call the premium content, you know, for Jerry or whoever the one person would be. But the thing is that I don't really do this for money. I actually do this more for me than you, I think. I mean, there's multiple reasons, of course. I am certainly glad you're listening, though, because if nobody was listening, I would probably fuck right off with this. As opposed to, you know, the tight, well-oiled, totally prepared 30 minutes a week that I do with it this for. But also, you know, it just, I know that I'm kind of performing for somebody. But also, this is more for me as a kind of my meeting, I guess. My visit to thinking about being sober and not drinking to excess and doing lots of drugs to excess. That was, you know, natural for so many years. As I hit my vape, by the way, I did pick the right time to start vaping, because people just got tired of making fun of it. And it was just like, whatever now at this point. And more and more people are starting to do it, which is fine, I guess. But I can tell you this, I'm going on vacation with my girlfriend to Chicago next month, and I am absolutely, the money that I'm going to be spending on the vacation is all the money I saved by not buying goddamn cigarettes this year. So that's weird. Yeah, imagine that when you're not spending $200 a month on smokes. So this seems to be working. You know, you just have to get over you have to get to the point where you're fine with looking, you know, you don't want to die a slow, painful death. Instead, you'd rather look like a douchebag. Like when you're finally okay with looking like a douchebag over dying. And it took me a while. Took me a long time to go, maybe. But it seems to be working. So anyway, back to the making money off of the podcast. I don't really give a shit about that. Although, if you would like to help me out, apparently, if you give me a 5-star rating and a comment about it on iTunes, it helps. You don't have to, because I'm not going to look and check. I'm not really going to care. But if you want to help, there's that. The other thing that you can do to help is just when my album comes out in the next couple of months, and I will let you know, buy that motherfucker. That's what you can do to help. buy my fucking CD. Or not CD, the album. It'll be digital only. But that's what you can do to help. How do I help John out? Well, you can do that. So, and that really is just about breaking even on paying for getting it made. That's really all that is. But break even, that's better than what I was expecting. So the other thing I know that, because I have a number of followers in my head, and it's big, that I would have to have on this dumb thing to actually cave into advertisement. If I even do that. And the thing about that is, you know, I'm not going to like Bill Hicks it up and be all like, you know, because advertising is in everything and, you know, we're just bombarded by it. So it really doesn't bother me. Also, I'm a sucker for marketing. I really am. I used to buy cigarettes that were in black packages just because it's like, yeah, now you got me. No, I know. I'm aware that it's the slick marketing that yep, nope, I'm still going to buy this. Yeah, Marlboro Blacks, absolutely going to do it. But, I'm not a fan of advertising. I don't like wearing a big brand on my shirt. Anybody who's seen me knows that some of the only things that I wear that has something written on it is is my Give Up shirts, which is the street artist Give Up from Houston, who also does stuff here in Austin. But that's just because this shit's dark and I like it. But the only advertising I would do advertising for stuff that I really like. Like I would totally I would absolutely do advertising for the smoothie packets from HEB specifically. Not HEB, but the HEB smoothie packets for $1.50 that contain, you know, fruit. That's how I consume fruit and vegetables, by the way, is I drink it. The other thing I would totally do advertising for the Body Armor Super Drink is what it's called, the sports drink Body Armor, because I love the shit out of those, and because I got into them because I saw a very clever commercial, totally roped me in, and then I also saw that Andrew Luck was an investor of it, and Andrew Luck is the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And that guy's a fucking badass. If you're not a football person, Andrew Luck plays. He doesn't play quarterback like a quarterback. Like slide. Like the guy like plays like a football player. Now he's always hurt because of that. He didn't even play last year. He was fucking injured. But you know, but man, I love that guy. That guy is awesome. So I totally tried it out, and it's way better than Gatorade. So yeah, try Body Armor. There's like coconut water in there. They say, I mean, I don't really believe them. It tastes better. How about that? I don't want to say it's healthier because I don't believe what an advertiser says. I'll tell you that straight up. It tastes better. I'm not really the spokesperson they would want, you know. Just going, you know, when I play hours and hours of Fallout 4 on my Xbox One, sometimes I have to hydrate myself because I don't get up. So, yeah. When I vape constantly and then don't drink water, I dry out. That's why I drink Body Armor. So, I don't think that would really work. By the way, yeah, if you're looking for a game, if you've never played Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, or Fallout 4, and you feel like living in a post-apocalyptic, if you want to train for quite possibly the future, Fallout, everybody. There's my advertising. That's what I would do. I would advertise for Bethesda's Fallout, Body Armor, Super Drinks, and Smoothie Packets. The end. So, all right, we're going to a couple of articles I wanted to look at. One article I want to look at, and then one I'm just going to kind of mention and talk about that subject. But the first article is from Vox, And I may have mentioned this before, but any site that begins with a V is suspect. Vulture, Vox, and Vice are all just garbage. But that being said, this is the one that came up because it's more about the topic and less about the quality of the writing. Because this particular article, this is what it says. It's safe injection sites were thought to reduce drug overdoses. The research isn't so clear. Which isn't a headline so much as just kind of a statement. So, because the link of the... Yeah, here's the actual... That's not even the link. The clickbait link that suckered me in said, safe injection sites may not have strong research behind them after all. Uh-oh, somebody's been lying. And what it basically comes out to being is that they did a what they call a meta-analysis of different research in different sites, and it comes out that the benefits of it aren't as impactfully strong as was previously indicated. And this is just one analysis like, hey, there seems to be I was going to read it, and I'm looking at it again, and man, it doesn't say anything, actually. It's like, this is not to definitively say that these supervised consumption sites don't work. It's more that we simply don't know yet. Well, then why write the fucking article? This just in, we don't really know yet. More news at 11. Jesus Christ. Anyway, but they mention in here about how there's detractors of having these sites, safe injection sites, which is basically a place like if people are going to do drugs, we might as well have them a place for people who are problematic needle users. Those who are constantly using dirty needles and just not doing things safe because they're at that level when they've been doing it so bad that you just don't care anymore and you're like, that'll be fine, and you just get sloppy. They have a place where you can come in. They can supervise you with clean equipment and keep it as safe as possible. And the detractors say that these kind of places, what it does is it encourages more drug use and creates more crime. And that's a load of shit. Because the only people that are going to go to this are people who are already, like, they're just bottom of the barrel at this point. They're almost hitting rock bottom. People that can't get clean needles in, like, a needle exchange because... they're in a place in society where the majority of people are like, you know, no, that's just going to make them do it more. Like not having a clean needle is... I got a scar on my arm as a result of reusing the same needles. It doesn't deter you. You don't look at your gear and go, well, I don't have any clean needles. I guess I'll just get sick today and not do this heroin that I have. Like, you don't do that. That's the idea that you're going to keep people from sterile shit is mind blowing to me. That's ignorance, of which we have plenty in this country. And then the other, so like people who just are doing drugs who like it, they're not, you know, people don't go, hey, let's go down to the injection site and have people watch us get high. That's how I like to party. That's not something that people do. I think it's something that needs to be, you know, like, I think that's worth funding. I don't know how effective it is. It's basically just trying to keep people from dying. It's not going to curb drug use. It's just having something there in the middle of an epidemic to keep They're really, really at risk. And I think it's worth investing in. I think it's worth it definitely makes more sense than some other things that we pay for. And maybe what I'll do is I'll look to see if where you guys can, you know, people can donate money to these kind of programs. I could probably do that. Yeah, let me look right now. Give me a second. Oh, well, that was fun. That was a fun read. No wonder why you haven't heard of it. There's about 100 injection sites, and they're all in worldwide. Most of them are in Europe. Zero in the United States, although maybe at this point, because the first one is going to be like they just announced it apparently in April that they're going to do it in Seattle. So there's one in Seattle. There's also a proposed one in Philly. Philly, who just had 1,200 OD deaths last year alone. And then Seattle one, I went to look to donate. And no, the city has money to set up maybe one or two locations. And when I tried donate an injection site, the very first link it pulled up was a nonprofit organization raising money to fight the injection site and keep drug users out of our neighborhoods, as if there aren't people doing drugs already in their neighborhood. What they mean is, let's keep them from being visible in our neighborhood and let them do it privately. That's really what they mean. So I hope that, so that's definitely something. Although, really, we could be donating more money to actual funding for rehabs. That would be nice. I got my rehab paid for, which is why I'm still here. There's an organization called Midcoast Family Services that's located in Victoria and an office in San Antonio, and they hooked me up with the with rehab and the funding, like a grant for it, for needle users and pregnant women, who hooked me up, and I looked because I wanted to see what's happened since then. And Midcoast Family Services now doesn't help people with drug issues because of legislation that was passed by some dipshit in Amarillo named Four, as in the number four, last name Price, as in the price of helping people not die from drugs is way too high. So Four Price did some legislation which basically lumps in drug use and mental health all under one thing, which was like solving a problem that isn't there, but like just kind of like keeping it all together. And then that's all run by state government. And then they do the recommendations and you know, because you know how it is when you go to get a driver's license, it runs smoothly. You know, everything run by the state is great. You know, why have a private organization help you? But they're not allowed to help because it's, because of legislation that was just kind of pushed through by this jackhole from Amarillo, which I've heard from my roommate who's from there, that local politics in Amarillo is crooked as fuck. So, way to go, Panhandle. Anyway, along the same lines, I did want to mention this because I saw another article. It was in the New York Times, and it's a California Today section in the New York Times, and it says, at an Oakland hospital, a new way to treat opioid addiction. And I went, oh shit, a new way? And then what they're talking about is an initial dose of buprenorphine. And that's not new. That's actually 16 years old. And I realize that it's just not, but it's nice that the that more hospitals are using it because so now what buprenorphine is it's a drug that reduces cravings and it staves off opiate withdrawals. It keeps you from getting sick, which is like the driving force of going out and having to score again. And if you've never heard of it, but you have heard of this, it's Suboxone and Subutex. Those are the drugs that you can get with a script that help people who have a heroin addiction. Now, the difference between Subutex and Suboxone. Suboxone's the way to go because what Subutex is just buprenorphine. And buprenorphine can be addictive over long periods of time. And so people, what they were doing is they were getting this and then they ended up, drug addicts were ending up shooting up the buprenorphine, shooting up the Subutex. Because it was able to get them high. Not as high, but still, you know, something. So they developed what's called Suboxone, which is basically the same thing, only they added something called naloxone. And naloxone is an antagonist that blocks the effects of opioids at the receptor sites. And I've been on Suboxone before, and it's... Here's the thing about Suboxone. When you take it, if you say fuck it and you decide to get high anyway, because you took Suboxone that blocks the receptors, the drug doesn't work. And in fact, it kind of makes you sick. So it actually deters you. If you take it, you don't go fuck it, man, and then go get drugs because it's a waste. You have to wait till the Suboxone gets out of your system before you can go score again and get high. So it really, and I know, I have a couple of friends that I know, and you know, one of them, this is the only, you know, they didn't go to rehab, they didn't get lucky. I mean, they didn't hit bottom. First of all, they've just been kind of maintaining, so they never went to rehab, but they're on Suboxone, and they've been on Suboxone for years now. You know, and they still struggle, but they stay sober because of Suboxone. That's the one that they use. And so if you know of anybody who can't, you know, if you can't afford 30 grand or whatever to go to rehab, that's what you need to do. You need to start when you've got nothing else. Suboxone's the way to go. Stay away from methadone, by the way. And, you know, I looked this up in 2012. One third of all prescription drug related deaths, one third were related to methadone. Like there may have been other things involved, but methadone was involved or was the primary reason for overdose in a prescription for 33% of the overdoses in 2012. So methadone is like shit, man. It's the withdrawals of methadone are worse than the withdrawals of heroin. Just FYI. That's not a road to go down. Do Suboxone over methadone. If you learn nothing today and remember nothing, remember that. Suboxone. There, that's my... This is my public service for today, is trying to, you know, you may not need it, but, you know, in the future, you're going to know somebody who's going to need help. And that's the direction to go for. So, wow, that was informative, John. That's unlike you. I know. Yeah. Drink body armor, everybody. All right. Well, I think I'm gonna. That's all I had today. Is I just wanted to talk about that because, that's really the initial when it comes to getting off of something hardcore. When it comes to getting off heroin, it really gets out of your system. Like the main physical withdrawals is 72 hours. First day sucks. The second day is the worst. That's when you're the sickest. And the third day, you're pulling out of it. And that's really, you know, unlike some other, you know, like benzos, unlike trying to like trying to come off of benzos, with withdrawals from benzos can kill you, but withdrawals from heroin won't kill you. You'll just want to be dead. But that's the thing, is that Suboxone can actually save you from that. I think that, you know, the psychological aspect and the mental addiction is way more intense, which is why rehab is and it's there's a John Oliver did a thing on how rehabs are not, have no oversight, and I'll tell you, the best rehab to go to is a 90-day one. 90-day rehabs are the best. You can't do shit in 30 days. I think it takes 45 days to rewire thought patterns, like with new habits, to make them sit. I think it was 45 days is what I was told. Is it true? I don't know. But 90 days gives you the biggest, and that's the thing that I tell some people about, you know, the different kinds of programs, and, you know, do they do 12 step or do they do the revisit your thoughts core problem solving kind of shit. I'm like, it really, I don't think it's so much what they quote unquote teach you in rehab or the group therapy or one-on-one therapy. Those are beneficial. I think the big benefit is staying away from your environment and being kind of isolated for 90 days. I think that's the biggest thing, which is why it's so important, because it pulls you out of all your temptations and puts you in a place where you can work on yourself. Because the program, when I was in jail for 6 months, that five-month program, the SMART program, I do air quotes, the SMART program, it was a county-run program, and it was kind of shitty. You know, the program didn't save me. I already had the mentality. I was ready to go. They could have just put us in kindergarten and taught us like how to, you know, do cursive, and it would have just been as effective. I think feels like to me, it didn't matter. But it was basically taking the time to work on yourself, and not so much the content of what they're really trying to tell you. Because I don't remember, I can't tell you a single thing that I learned in that rehab program. Anyway, where was I going? I was ending. Okay, yeah. So I think that's it. That's all we're going to do for today, this week. I hope if you're trying to stay sober, you stay sober yet another day. I hope this helps, or at least amused you mildly for 30 minutes before you go on to listen to another podcast of people talking political shit. Anyway, I will see you guys next week. Have a good one. It's hot as shit out there, so drink water. Later. Red wine, a little smoke.